podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Say anything.
It's taken... Can I just tell you something? It's taken 38 minutes to set this up.
Oh, my God.
That is, Makita, a new record. Congratulations.
Oh, God.
I am totally in your account, Makita. Are you ready?
Oh, my God. Not really, actually.
Brilliant. Let's just see what happens. Come on.
I really don't use Amazon that much, I don't think.
Well, we'll find out now. I'll be the one to tell you that. So this is Makita Oliver on My Mate Bought a Toaster. Makita, thank you so much for agreeing to do this. And most importantly, thank you for spending 40 minutes with me. Sadly, off air, we didn't record any of it, setting up the line. We've done it. You're on board. You're there, right?
It was hell, Tom. Thank you. I really didn't need this today.
It was really bad. But what made it worse is that you're one of those people, when you get annoyed, I find it funny. I don't know why. There's something about your being annoyed chemistry that I find very funny.
Did I seem like I was getting annoyed? Oh no, I was hiding it quite well.
It wasn't actually annoyed as unfair. Just the despair is what I enjoyed
despair.
Most.
Despair, I was despairing.
Technology.
For both of us.
Are you very technically minded?
No, my Mac that's in front of me is this laptop I got this year for my 36th birthday.
Oh my God.
And, you know, because I didn't go to school really, like most people do. I didn't go to uni and I didn't have an office job or a job that made me, that I needed a computer for. So I just never, all those books of time where you get very computer literate, I didn't have. So I had to learn how to use a computer this year. And,
are you kidding me? Only just got... That's like a sort of member of the royal family only just getting a mobile phone. How privileged are you?
How do you use these devices? No, I was also just scared of laptops. I was like, how could anyone figure them out? And then, you know what? It was really humbling. I had to ask my cousin for help and ask my flatmate. Anyone's had to help me this year, but I've got a lot better and I taught myself how to edit this year. So,
oh my God.
I don't have to use iMovie. So don't worry about
that. Whoa, someone's putting a new showreel together. What have you been editing, please?
Well, me and Mum started doing this thing in lockdown called What's for Dinner, Mummy, because we were losing our minds along with the rest of the country, lockdown one. Mm. And it was just my mum cooking and making a recipe, and then I would play music and we would dance and just chat in the kitchen. And then I would just post them as stories, and then I wanted it to be more like a sort of film, and then I wanted to add music, and then I was like, I need to learn how to edit. So I just did.
There you go. There's a life skill you've got out of lockdown.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And I can use a laptop now. That whatever happened in those previous 40 minutes have nothing to do with how bad my tech skills are. They are bad, but they're not that bad.
I would say, first of all, 38 minutes. Secondly, no, this wasn't your fault. This was just a weird thing. Genuinely, it was nothing to do. It was not your fault.
It was weird.
So listen, it's a slightly nerve-wracking moment, right? Now I've looked into your Amazon account and I can see 2010, no orders. And then I'm like, oh my God, 11, nothing, 12, nothing. So you promise me you've not been erasing your orders, have you? You haven't been going through. You're just not a big Amazon shopper. This is going to be a great episode.
And it turns out I don't really buy that much from Amazon. The
Bye!
End. Amazon, eBay, online shopping has just always intimidated me. I did the Argos voiceover for years and I'd be like, what do you mean click and collect? What does that mean? And they'd be like, really? Same day? And they were like, yeah. I only really got into online buying this year with my new flatmate, my flatmate of a year, and she is deep into a delivery. So yes. She loves an Amazon delivery.
Yeah, good. Oh, well, we'll get on to that then. So lockdown has unleashed. Basically, lockdown has brought you up to about 2008, I reckon.
Probably.
Crashing into it. But that's interesting that you're a bit of a Luddite. That is interesting. And you think it's because you didn't do the normal things with university and all that sort of stuff?
Absolutely. Those blocks of your life that people just take for granted for what you learn. I think people take for granted what they learn in those times, those things that just become just part of getting older. And I was like on set and stuff. So yes. I didn't really I didn't learn to drive. I didn't learn how to use a computer, but I could, you know, do one hell of an interview with Usher. It was fine.
That is so true. You should have slammed me with that when I was getting cross with you trying to set this up. Tom, can you interview Usher? No, you can't.
I should have come back with my greatest stuff, exactly.
So before we get on to your first purchase, which by the way doesn't happen until 2017.
Oh my God, what the hell? I don't know what I was up to then. Oh God, what was I buying?
Well, we'll get there in a sec, but I'm fascinated by this idea that you were whisked away. When did you get, is it T4 that you did? That's the big gig, isn't it?
Yeah, I started on Pop World. That was my first job. That was when I was 15, and we did 5 years, and then I moved on to T4 for another six. So I did 11 years from 15 to 20, to 26. Yeah, that's 11 years.
Yeah.
And that's when you learn a lot of sort of quite base stuff. And I didn't really have a day off for those years. I just worked and worked and worked and worked and worked. So only in the last like 10 years was I like, right, I need to do all those things that people do, like learn stuff. I mean, so I guess I've done my life a bit backwards.
Well, no, but it's just fascinating. I mean, it's a sort of showbiz version of leaving the army, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yeah.
26, you're like, yeah. Right, hello world. How do I get Wi-Fi? What's a router? I mean, it's absolutely...
It's true, actually. You just get into a particular bubble of work, and that work is so extreme and otherworldly. Mm. So you do have to land a bit. And, you know, I landed hard. I had a lot of stuff to get through. Yeah. And, you know, even this year, I was like building all the... I'm starting quite a few different things. And in January, one of the teams was like, you have to get a laptop. I was like, well, oh, I was like doing it from my iPad. They were like, just get a laptop. I was like, what do you mean Google Drive? So I've had to learn like Google Drive and spreadsheets and just the lingo and terminology and all of it. I'm still very much learning. There's a lot to learn on a laptop.
There is a lot to learn. There is a lot to learn, but it's, you know, it's very satisfying. And you can now consider yourself a normal member of the human race, knowing what's going on a laptop. It's great.
Yeah. I've got a nice picture of like a meadow of cosmos flowers that helps me not be intimidated by it every time I open it. It's like, it's a safe space, your laptop.
It's really fascinating though, this idea that, when you're 15 years old, you get whisked away to go and present one of the biggest youth TV shows out there. I mean, and also we're getting into territory here of child star. And for me, child star always means car crash. Like as soon as you're 18 plus and things happen like that, that's okay. But 15, that is really young.
Yeah, it was a lot actually. But you know, in a way it was weird. You know, I became really famous really quickly and I didn't really know that was going to be an additional part of it. I just thought I had to do this massive job. That bit wasn't really discussed. But you know, there was no Instagram. So I didn't have to deal with that, which is hell.
So true. Look, let's go to the end. Let's go to 2017. We've got to get into your items, right? We've got to find what you have been buying. 2017. And it's pretty simple. There's only two things that you buy in the whole year. The whole year. They're both on Prime Video.
Oh my God, no!
Right?
They're both on Prime Video.
Oh God. It's absolute filth. No, you have bought... 30th of August 2017, Dangerous Liaisons. It's all gonna be okay, Makita. Don't panic.
I can't believe I hired Dangerous Liaisons from Amazon.
Yeah. It's do you know what? I don't think I've seen this movie. Or maybe I have watched it, but years ago.
Oh, it's
Glenn Close, John Malkovich, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. And it's it was a film that was quite very big when I was young, and there was I grew up on Portobello Road, and there was a cinema called The Electric on Portobello, and whatever film was on there, the poster of it would always be there, and that was my walk to primary school, back and forth every day. So I don't know, there are certain films like that film, Peter's Friends. I was talking about it with a few friends the other day, just those sort of iconic.
Oh, I love that movie.
Such a great film. Those early 90s, like, brilliant films. My mum would watch them a lot, and they were always like on at the Electric. So that would have been me probably being quite nostalgic. And also, it's a blooming great story. It's so dark and twisted.
Yes, yeah, it's classic. It's a classic. Portobello Road. I mean, what a dreamy place to grow up. Do you still live over there?
No, I live in Hackney. My mum moved to East London 25 years ago for love, my lovely stepdad, Garfield. And then I sort of lived all around, but I've lived east for about 15 years.
Right.
Yeah, okay. About 15 years, maybe God, yeah, 15 years. But West London, Ladbroke Grove, that's where I'm from. And it's a very special place to me. And we grew up in the middle of a very hedonistic, exciting time where lots of cultures were mixed and races were mixed. And there was music and art. And my mum knew a lot of people. And it was a very, very precious, exciting childhood. I'm very happy
So nice to hear that kind of those vibes about childhood being positive, because so many comics who I know are always like, oh God, it was awful, where do I start? And I'm like, I'm not your therapist, I don't know what to say. So West London, weird being whisked away to Popworld when you were 15. What were your mates like when that happened?
You dropped them
like a sack of shit. Unbelievable.
No. It was more, everyone was so busy with school and I hadn't gone to school for about a year or two. So I was quite displaced anyway from my group of friends. Mm. It was just a bit of this weird thing that I was doing. It only became, Potwell was not meant to be a success. Potwell was a very small idea that was on at 8:30 a.m. on Channel 4 on Sunday mornings. But what it did was because it was small, Simon and I met, did not like each other, sort of didn't really get each other, but we started on this show together really quickly. I did the audition within a week. We started filming. Wow. And I was like, okay. And Simon and I realized that we both were disappointed with the same things in pop culture. And that's how we sort of grew to love each other. And because no one was looking at us, we just started to lie and tell the producers that we wrote our own scripts and that we improvised. So we just started to do whatever we just like, should we just say what we want? And then we just did. And the ratings tripled.
Yes.
And they couldn't say anything. And suddenly it was like,
and they're stuck with you. Right. Amazing.
Yeah.
But this is what happens.
It was good.
This is what happens when talent takes control like that, and you don't have a board of executives telling you what you should say. You know?
Yeah. And sometimes when you start small, you can sort of create anything you want. If we were meant to be this really like sarcastic new music show, it would have been awful. Yeah. But it was just, we were just two people that really, I mean, Simon's one of the most important people to me in my life. We went through something extraordinary together and, you know, he spent Christmases with us. He's very much part of my family. Mm. And I adore that man and I had this extraordinary experience together.
Yeah.
I was very lucky that was my first job.
He's such a dude. He's such a great guy.
He's the best.
You're both brilliant on that show because you're, and I remember watching him in exactly that sort of shiny floor show, youth pop stuff was not my jam. I was a miserable shit listening to the Smiths. And yet I watched that and I loved you guys because you were dry. I mean, your dry sense of humor, Makita. I mean, you were 15, 16 and you were rattling out these gags. Like, where the fuck did that come from?
I have no idea why my childhood, where the people I grew up around, I was around a lot of adults. I was taught that what I had to say was important. I was also a real little show off and I was happy to finally have a stage for my opinions that I felt were really important. You know, I was fearless. I was 15. I think you get become more scared in your 20s. When you're that young, you are quite fearless and you sort of just go for it.
Yes, yes. We've all got to channel our inner 15-year-old Makita Oliver. That's what we need.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, here we go. Another order. 31st of December, 2017. Someone's got a big New Year's Eve planned.
What?
Oi, oi, having it lunch. What's going on at Makita's tonight? Yeah, they're having a house party. Really? What are they doing? They're watching Being Julia. Oh, come on.
Oh my God. Okay, this is why. All right, Being Julia, this is why. Oh my God, that's hysterical. I think I got Amazon so I can get Being Julia. I'm not joking.
Okay, good.
So my very good friend of a long time is an actor called Tom Sturridge. And he was in Being Julia when we were younger. I had a major, major crush on him. And I loved a good English film. And I think that's what I liked about him the most. He was like so English and he came from a family of like directors and actors. And I just really loved his family. And any film he was in, I watched.
He's brilliant.
But 2017 is a bit late because I got over Tom Sturridge in 2010. So that's not good.
Okay. So, so maybe there's some sort of slightly morose New Year's Eve kind of, you're watching it by yourself with a bottle of wine and some candles.
Maybe I was like, oh, let's remember my crush on Tom. But it's a great film. I really love Being Julia. Annette Bening's so great in it. And It's my kind of film, but Jeremy Irons is one of my favourite actors in the world. I love everything Jeremy Irons is in.
Yes.
And it's just a good, nice looking English film.
So what? How many stars would you give it out of five?
Being Julia, yeah. I'd probably give it 3.5. It gets a bit weird at the end.
Okay. I'm just writing a review because don't forget I've logged into your Amazon account so I can just add a headline.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Storage.
No!
Storage. Add a written review.
I really enjoy Tom Sturridge
Amazon,
in this part.
Prime. So I only got Amazon Prime so I could watch this film. I bought my first laptop in 2020. I love Tom Sturridge.
No, you can't put that last one.
Great. Okay.
Because he's still my friend.
You just did it on a podcast, Makita.
He's so arrogant that he'll think that's true.
Okay, I think Tom Sturridge has come off the boil, okay? But was good here.
But good here, and I love him dearly and will forever.
And
there you go.
And I love him dearly and will forever.
Jesus, this is game of therapy.
Choose your public name, Makita Oliver. Submit.
Oh my God.
There we are.
Oh my God.
Having a nice time on the podcast, are you? Yeah, good.
Is that underneath Being Julia now?
Certainly is. Any one of our listeners can now head over to Being Julia on Amazon and they'll see the latest review is from Makita Oliver. And it says those words.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, I hope that's the last time we do that.
Absolutely not. When they're looking through your shopping history and they don't understand it, you have been bought red-handed. 21st of January 2018, you spend £6 on White Heat Season 1. What is White Heat, please?
Oh, God. This is when I started to fall out of love with Amazon.
Oh.
Because I bought White Heat. It was, again, see, I do like a good sort of British drama.
Are you shitting bricks about The Crown at the moment in that case?
No, do you know what? I feel like I can't watch it while everyone is watching it. It's too overwhelming. It's like so in the mind frame of everyone at the moment. I think I need to give it a minute.
You're such an indie kid. You're like me. I don't want, everyone else is watching it. I'm like, no, if it's mainstream, I'm not interested. I want to be watching. No, I'm going to go watch Shane Meadows films.
It's difficult because, come on, it's like, look, it's lockdown too. Obviously, I could do a bit of The Crown at the moment, but I'm like, you know, I'm probably subconsciously saving it because we don't know how long lockdown's going to be.
Fair. It's got a great cast. It's written by Paula Milne. White Heat sets a new benchmark in epic drama as it chronicles the loves, triumphs and tragedies of a group of friends through a generation of political and social turmoil. Ka-ching! Thank you very much indeed.
And it's good. It's like, it's got great British actors in it, supporting cast. Mm. And it's like one of those nice through the decades series.
Yes. I love that sort of stuff. I mean, you know, The Crown is a bit too perfect and big budget. I like the smaller budget indie vibes, but with that thing through the decades, epic sagas, all.
Yeah. Oh, you need to watch White Heat. You'd like it.
Well, I can do, Max. I've just logged into your account. I might just carry on watching episode one. Seriously, if I press play, I can actually see, 5 minutes 42 is when you jumped off White Heat.
Really? 42. Is that all I gave it? Yeah. What was I so busy doing in 2018? Nothing.
Just getting over Tom Sturridge. Okay, what else have we got in 2018 then? And what are you doing in 2018? What's going on with your life? Because we've talked a lot about the earlier years with Pop World and all that sort of stuff. What's happening now by 2018? Yeah. Where do we find you, Makita, in 2018?
2018 was a really bad year. It was like, I was sort of like, I suddenly realized I wasn't working on the stuff I wanted to work on and like what actual work wise, not with myself, just like, but I wasn't getting there because of where I was at in my head. Mm. I had to do a lot of facing stuff, but I'm thinking about it now because I really changed my life in 2019. January. So I'm thinking 2018 is when everything crashed. Oh my God. Yeah. I had a show that I was actually, I'm not really allowed to talk about it. I'll talk around it. I had a show that was meant to happen that I've been working on for a long time and it didn't. And it broke my heart. Oh. And I realized that I'd been putting everything into this one thing. And I had to look more about at all the, just, you know, you're kind of hoping that one thing will solve everything.
Yes.
And because I've been working in TV since I was 15, I just thought a commission will solve everything. Mm. And actually I had to do a lot of work on myself. And I think you have to, for me anyway, sometimes I have to really, really crash to sort of rise from the ashes like a phoenix. Mm. And this time I took it to a new level. I really did a lot of work on myself and started exercising, started training, lost a lot of weight, and started really thinking about how I wanted to approach the work I wanted to do and the kind of career I wanted to have for the rest of my life. And a lot of that was remembering how much I just absolutely love being a TV presenter and I love broadcasting. Yeah. When that's been given to you at such an early part of your life where you don't even know whether it's, you don't know that you're good at broadcasting, but then it's given to you and you realize it's what you're made to do. Mm. And then there comes a time where you can't do the work you want to do because of various choices that you've made or where you're at in your life. And that's really hard. So when I started getting work again, I lapped it up, Tom. Every single job, every 30-minute voiceover, yes, everything.
But this is,
I just went
this
at
is
it.
A, this is a familiar pattern. I really get it. You know, you had huge, huge fame, and there's only one place that fame's going to go. And you know, you're going to have to be ready for times when you're not getting the same amounts of work that you were getting, and yet you've got to know, like. Because you've had this thing where the thing you were born to do, you got the chance to do it at 15. Like,
yeah, but the thing is, because a lot of my friends, like if my painter friend's out of work, they will just go to their studio and paint. I can't sit in my room and present to the door. Like,
have you not seen Instagram? It's pretty good. You should check it out.
Well, exactly. That was the other thing. I started to get really confused because I started to see the way people, hey guys, on Instagram, and I was like, maybe that's the new presenting, and I've just never been very good at that. I am quite a sarcastic person. I just am, and the way I thought there was no space for me on television anymore, so I started to write basically and get myself into a better space, and then jobs just started coming through, and I realized that actually no, there is still so much of the TV I want to do. Now I'm doing so much that I love, and I guess if I'd had to write it down, I wouldn't have known what to write. So sometimes you just got to keep going each day, nourishing yourself, focusing, really thinking about what it is you're good at and what you want to do. And it gets you to the most extraordinary places. I couldn't have imagined the kind of stuff that my mother and I are now doing a year ago, or 2018 to be precise.
There you go. So yeah. Tell me about the stuff you're doing with your mother at the moment then. Because you've got your channel on, is that on YouTube?
No. We just put that on our Instagram, What's for Dinner Mummy. What's for Dinner Mummy basically brought... My mum's career was already going very well, but it sort of just propelled both of us into the stages we're at now. I'm now doing a lot of work with Channel 4 again, which is like, you know, it's my home, Channel 4.
Yeah.
It's where I grew up, quite literally. So to go back there and be doing live TV with them has just been so invigorating and exciting and really redemptive for me. And my mum is now, you know, killing it. She's now been moved to the host of Great British Men. You're not just
the
judge.
Andy Oliver. Yes, of course. We should mention her name. Yes.
Are you sorry? Yeah, my mother, no. Andy Oliver.
Yeah, just in case. But yeah, okay. Yes.
No, it's very important. It's so important for me to have seen what happened to my mum in her 50s, Tom. Her early 50s, her career turned into something she could have never dreamed of. So I suppose that propelled me to go, oh, no, it's never too late to get what you want again. You can start again. And starting again for me meant being proud of what I had done instead of running from it. And then using that to sort of build me into the presenter I want to be now. And now we're doing, I'm not allowed to say we've got a massive BBC commission, but I can't talk about it.
Okay, fine.
January.
That's exciting though. So 2018 is the crucible in which all the positivity we're hearing from you now sort of began, right? So come on, I feel like I need to scratch the surface a bit more. You say you worked on yourself, you got stuff out. What does that mean? Did you do therapy or what's happening?
Yeah, I started therapy. I started going out with someone, my ex-boyfriend, who was a really calm, chilled out stonemason. Oh. And he was just, you know, I got this new flat. I moved house. I was living in the middle of London Fields in Hackney, and I'd been there in three different flats, basically in the same circle of London Fields, same people, same pubs. And I was just losing my mind a bit. Mm. And I moved out to the marshes on the same park that my parents live on, but my flat's like a bit further down the park. And I knew that I wanted to live high up. I hate living on the basement or ground floor. I've always really just not liked it.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I need to find somewhere that's just high up. That's all I care about. And I found this incredible flat that I'm talking to you from now, which my parents' flat is high up as well. It looks a certain way over the park. Yeah. So this flat's higher. So I thought I'd see my parents' view, but better. And I got up and realized it looks the other way. And the other way is extraordinary. It's like the entire Marshes and then the entire of Walthamstow and Leighton and then all, I mean, it's the most panoramic, epic view. We call my balcony Skybar.
Oh, I love it. That's great. That's great.
And it's just, I think this view and moving to the Marshes and going out with my lovely ex, who was just very calm, and I didn't go out and see people. We just went for lots of walks on the Marshes, hung out with the cows and the horses. And I just really got back to like who I was before I became Makita Oliver and a famous young person, and the things I wanted before those things, and who, you know, it's a really defining thing, what you do, being everything that you are from that young. Yeah. So I had to figure out who I was without what I did.
Yeah. But most people figure that out, go through that period when they're having a gap year or just after university. That's the hard, that's a really difficult time after you. Do you know what I mean? Because of your success, yeah, and because you were whisked away into this whirlwind, it took you longer. So it must have hit harder when you had this moment.
God, yeah. I was 34.
Yeah. Seriously.
So I was like, okay, but that's why I'm having a kind of success that feels very different. I'm not just on the telly. We're working, we're building sort of lots of different really important avenues, my mother and I, so that television, I work in television in all the myriad of ways that I want to work in it for the rest of my life. I love telly. When I wasn't on it, I just missed it. And I love being on set. It's where I love live TV. I love auto cue. I love talk back. Yeah. Like, I love the gallery. I grew up there. So for me, it's just, it's a really exciting, safe space where I know I can just grow and get better and better.
Yes. Yes. I know exactly what you mean. And it's that thing of having that home and somewhere you've grown up on, but then having to deal with the absence of it and get over the absence of it then means when it's back in your life, you appreciate it and you understand it
better. Oh yeah, totally. It's like your car's coming at 6 a.m. I'm like, I'll be there.
Yeah, like, exactly. You know, exactly.
I'm like, every day I'm just like so feeling the fact that I got myself back into this really powerful place. I'm so proud of myself. I can't believe I bloody did it.
You should be. You should be, because so many people can't do that. Once it's gone, it's gone, and then it all just, that will, that strength of will, it takes a lot to do that.
It does take a lot. It really does. And it's not over every day. You're like, oh God, it's a lot to re-enter into this competitive, busy place. But actually it's all about approach. And I'm not approaching it with any sense of competitiveness. I'm approaching it with just all the things I want to do are in this world. And I intend to do them all this time.
Yeah. And quality will out as well. That's the thing you have to remember. Quality will out. If you're good, it's all going to be fine. Talking of which, Map and Lucia. There you are. Season one of Map and Lucia.
Oh.
Tell me about this, please. I don't know. This is a comic adaptation of E.F. Benson's novels set in... Oh, hello. I like the sound of this. I'm on board.
Yeah.
Set in a small town in 1930s England. Yes, please.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So I really... Can we just talk about how many sort of quintessential English buys? Anything that's a bit British, I'm into.
It's really interesting. What's going on there?
Yeah, I think it's my nan. My nan lives in Suffolk. We love a detective drama. We love her. She's still alive. I'm not saying she would have. I just meant I didn't show it to her. Map and Lucia, I might have to pull out this Christmas for her. She'd love it. So a very good friend of ours, family friend, is called Anna Chancellor. She's an actress and she's in this. I love most things that Anna's in.
I'm sorry, but, Duckface. She's Duckface, isn't she?
Yeah, she's Duckface. Yeah.
Okay, fine. All right.
She is Duckface. And Miranda, what's her name? Miranda Richardson?
Oh God, details. Click on details, Tom, quickly, but don't let on that you're clicking on details. pad. I can't see, actually.
Miranda Richardson? She's so good. It is Miranda Richardson.
Yes, it's Miranda Richardson. Miranda Richardson. Yes. Over to you. Thank you.
Miranda Richardson and Anna Chancellor. And I didn't know the story, but it's, you know, it's one of those classic old books by this author. And it's just about these two women. Sorry, I just remembered how funny it is. These two women in this town, in this village, and it's so pretty and it's very gentle, but it's so well written. And Miranda Richardson is amazing in it. They're basically frenemies and they're very competitive and they're very territorial about the space. And Miranda Richardson is just a comedic genius in it. I can't explain. You will have to watch it, but it's just so funny. Sorry, I just remembered. And I was having a really... Is this 2018 still?
This is in 2018, yeah. This is in the year of the beginning of the reboot.
I was needing a lot of... I was wanting to watch things that comforted me, but they also sparked me a bit. And I loved the way it was written and the way it was... why it was funny. Mm. All these things... It's funny. You know what, Tom? This is a clever podcast. It's interesting, the things that I consumed that did lead me to sort of the things I'm doing today.
Yes, yes.
That's very interesting.
What I'm noticing, what I find really, what I love about this is when you find out about people, and my perception of you is this is dry sense of humour. You are, you know, you're London to your teeth. You know, you are a core London kind of person. And yet here you are with this kind of inner Arcadia where you're looking at comfort British pastoral scenes. You're talking about the view looking out of your flat and how nice it is to walk with the cows. So there's this other side to you, which I find fascinating.
It's probably because it was all quite, you know, hectic. My childhood, there was a lot of parties and, you know, people were doing extraordinary things. So sometimes I quite like a little bit of comfort and routine. And I think I do get that out of a sort of pastoral landscape.
Yeah, who knew that was there? Who knew that was there with Makita Oliver? Look, 2019, finally she starts bloody using
Amazon.
Right,
what the hell? Well, I guess 2019 I was changing my life. So let's see what tools I thought Amazon could help.
So bearing in mind, up until 2019, you'd bought literally, I'd say, 8 things on Amazon, which somehow we've turned into a podcast so far, which is, you know. And then it goes absolutely crazy. You buy 56 items in 1 year. So
are you kidding? No, this is all bad films.
It is a lot of bad films. Also a lot of audio books, Audible membership. Again, you know, listening to your Audible books. You're chilling out, man. You're finding that zen.
I really was. I really was.
15th of April, Ratatouille.
Oh, that's 10 days before my birthday.
Oh, really?
I was just about to turn 35, so I probably needed some Disney.
Disney always helps with that. Then we've got Motherland Series 1, 15th of April.
Oh, you know what? I need to talk about Motherland.
Come on.
Because Motherland, is that how long ago Motherland came out? I wish there was just more Motherland. Because Motherland I watch to go to sleep to. Motherland I watch to be inspired to write, because it's just so well written.
Yes.
And I watch it to comfort me. And sometimes I watch it when I just need to really, really laugh. It is everything to me, Motherland. I think it's fantastic.
It's so fantastic. I love it so much. And also, I always end up doing that terrible cliche with Motherland of saying, oh my God, it's just like my life. Like, ridiculous.
Is it though? But is it? No, but that's why. No, but it's astute writing, Tom. They're not just on the periphery of writing about this subject. She's so clever, Sharon Horgan. There's also 3 other writers. I think it's Holly Walsh, Damien something, and Graham Lennon, who always writes with Sharon Horgan. And I like it so much that I actually read a whole article about the writing room they wrote about the writing room of how they wrote Motherland, and I just thought it was fascinating because it's just so comically the timing of the, but not even the acting, like the writing.
Yes, well, it's a fascinating thing. So you've got the writers' room is the core group: Sharon Horgan, Graham Linehan, Helen Linehan, his wife, of course, and Holly Walsh.
Oh yeah, it's his wife. Yeah, of course. Yeah,
and it's that thing as a stand-up, and it always drives you mad when people say, Michael McIntyre, he's so effortless, you know, just all he's doing is observing stuff. And you're like, you have no idea how hard it is to pick at a thread of observation and find something everyone relates to and build a plot around it. And then Motherland, they do it every single episode. It is a masterpiece.
Yeah, because that's so true. Like, I was watching it again the other night because I needed a hit of Motherland. And it's the one where that she opens her terrible shop, Amanda. And it's just like, it's not just funny. It's like the narrative is great. Like the leads of the story, by the time they're, by the time they call it a shit shop on the Acton Forum, it's already had like 3 narrative turns. I was like, this is genius writing.
Yeah, it's really good.
And it's the specifics as well. Like, of course it's Lee Mead that moves down the road. It's just so specific.
The Lee Mead thing's amazing. Listen, this is so annoying. If you've not watched Motherland, it's just like listening to two people describe a dream. Like, yeah, whatever.
No, but you should.
It's really, really good. It's really, really good. Same always.
Hello, my name is Pete Ellison. This is Dave Cribb.
Hello, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends, as you might have guessed from the music that's playing underneath, which is a sort of lo-fi rendition of the Friends theme tune for rights reasons. We get a different guest on every week on our podcast to talk about their favourite episode of Friends.
And we look through it in excruciating detail. We pick through levels of plots like no one has ever done before.
So if you like Friends or just listening to people talking, which are both valid activities, do look us up on the old podcast apps and that. Friends with Friends, and we're on Twitter @FriendsWF.
to know what else I was doing this year, because I really, motherland, this is me nesting, I think, before I was getting ready to, like, this is probably when I started training every single day.
Oh, really? Like running or what?
No, I got a trainer. I lost like 3 stone in 2019. Wow. So I went for it and I started training with this trainer called Nyambe.
Amazing.
And I had to be there at 9 a.m. every day. And sometimes I would train in the evening as well. I said to him, I want to lose 3 stone. He's like, I'll do it. We can do it. You just have to do this. So I trained harder than I've ever trained. And I thought it was going to be just about losing weight, but to even feel overweight and go in like month two,
yeah,
and work as hard as he works you, it takes so much more than just I'm going to train today. And that changed my life. I had to be a fighter. I had to work through stuff. And I think in the night, all I could do was handle watching Ratatouille and Motherland.
So how long would you train for it? Like an hour every day or what? 2 hours?
Yeah, hour every morning. And then sometimes I do a class in the evening. I just got so into it, Tom. I just went in the zone. I trained every day for about 8 months.
Are you quite an all or nothing person?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm seeing that.
I've never actually said that out loud, but big time.
I think that's good. I think that's strength. But also this is part of the, you know, you take the low point of 2018 and the reboot, you've got to do something. A lot of people go, right, I'm going to change. I'm going to, here we go. Let's do something. But people very rarely act on it.
Yeah. I just knew after what 2018 was, and turning 35 didn't help. I was like, you know what? We're getting a little bit last chance saloon here. We need to really, if we're going to try and turn this around. You know, for 5 years, I've been saying, I'm going to turn my career around. I'm going to get my career back. And just not living like someone that wanted to do that. I was like, I need to live like someone who actually cares about this and wants this. And you know what? The minute I did, it came back.
This is the thing. It's like, yes, this is really inspirational.
My intention was there.
It's really, really inspirational for people to hear that. I really believe that. People talk about their dreams and ambitions and things they want to do and they want to change, whether it's inner change, whether it's career change. But it's really hard to actually go, well, I've got 3 hours left today, so I could actually start writing that thing now. Like, no, everyone puts it off all the time.
Yeah.
So to,
yeah,
you know, yeah, it's hard to kick yourself in the arse. Physically, it's hard to do. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
31st of May, 2019, Black Panther, $9.99 on Prime Video. You've splashed the cash here.
Oh, God. No, I don't know why I bought that. I must have bought it for a kid that was visiting. I hate superhero films. I didn't watch it.
Oh,
I haven't
really
watched it. My mum's like, how can you not have watched Black Panther? I hate superhero films. One time, 8 people talked me into going to see the Avengers. You know what it is, Tom, as well? You might know this. In the olden days, pre-corona, and like more like the olden days, like early noughties, we had to do screenings for every person we interviewed.
Yes.
So I used to sometimes have 4 screenings a week.
Yes.
And that's not films you want to see. So it takes a lot for me to go to the cinema. Mm. At T4, we did every action film. So I had to sit through these action films like on my own in a screening room at 8 to a.m. So I can't stand them. So Black Panther was definitely for a niece or nephew.
That is, I relate to that. I really relate to that. I haven't had it quite the same as you. The last 3 years since I've been working at Magic, I've done a lot of these.
And yes,
finding myself
yes.
The other day, well, before lockdown, the other day, Christ, a year ago now, sitting next to Lorraine Kelly watching Sonic the Hedgehog. I mean, how has this happened to my life? Things like that.
No, but that is, that's how weird screenings are.
They're so weird.
It's so true.
But
next to Lorraine Kelly.
But here's the thing. Because I didn't start on this business until, in sort of getting into that presentery thing until I was about 34, 35. I'm never going to take it for granted. I'm never going to take it for granted. I love, every time I'm in that position, I'm like, this is so cool. Whereas what you're saying is you're there's this sort of white noise of fireworks, of showbiz fireworks going off in your face. And you're sitting there going, this doesn't quite fit. This isn't quite me. I'm over this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also it's knackering being on for that long. And I think after about 15 years, I just needed to lie down for a few years.
Yeah. You mustn't give yourself a hard time for that. That's the thing. You've got to go, I needed to do it.
Yeah, it's like I need to walk in the marshes for a year, okay?
Exactly.
Totally, back and forth.
Totally fair enough. Some great films still coming through. It is all movies. It is all movies, Makita. Life in Squares, the September issue, Permission. Stop me if you want to talk about any of these.
Life in Squares. I mean, I just love an English bloody film.
Oh, my God. Here we go again.
That's a BBC drama.
Told over 40 years. Here we go. Bloody, it's like catnip for Makita Oliver.
It's the story of Virginia Woolf and her sister and Duncan Thingamabob, the neighbour. It's bloody brilliant.
Yes. It's got... Rupert Penry Jones, or as we call him, Rupert Penry Wenry. all sorts of brilliant people. Amanda Coe, Sam Hort, loads of brilliant actors in it. It's another classic. It's another classic for Makita to watch.
It's another classic BBC drama.
What is wrong with you? It's so funny. Good Will Hunting, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. Oh, am I crying? It's not his fault.
Do you know what? I think Good Will Hunting is one of the best films ever made. Yeah. I fancy Matt Damon in it a lot, but I also just, I love the story. I love that two friends, because actually Tom, when we were younger, when we were like 21 and I was quite successful, but he was he was like a successful actor, but I was more successful. Mm-hmm. And him and Rob, our friend Rob Pattinson, were sort of shipping out scripts all around. They wanted to be like these two new writing guys. They wanted to be the new Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, I guess.
Yes.
And I just remember, and then Rob got Twilight, so it was just all shot to shit.
Bye-bye, all the best, have a safe flight.
Actually, I'm going to do this instead. But I always liked that story of Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. I love the way they came together and they were both working a little bit, but they wrote that extraordinary tale and then got Gus Van Sant to direct it and managed to get Robin Williams. Like, I loved the story of how they got that all made and put it together, and it's so beautifully done. I love their slightly rogue casting of Minnie Driver. And she's so good in it.
There's a certain, rule that I apply to certain people, which is you get a free pass for life, right? As soon as Ben Elton and Richard Curtis have done Blackadder, they have a free pass for life. I will forgive them The Thin Blue Line, you know, and any number of awful dross films that Richard Curtis has made in the last couple of years, right?
Bless him.
Bless him. Lovely, God, lovely man. I mean, Notting Hill.
He's a
Portobello Road.
Yeah, guy. but he made a film about my area and forgot to put half people that actually live in it. Yeah. So I love him.
So many people of colour in Notting Hill.
I think you're
thinking of Highgate Hill there, Richard. yes, but isn't it good that, well, it's obviously not good, but we can look at that now with the place we've got to in 2020 and kind of go, Richard, next time, love.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And it's not even an anger thing. It's just not factually correct, was it, Richard?
Yeah. And some people get a free pass. I would say Ben Affleck and Matt Damon for writing Good Will Hunting. Certainly Ben Affleck, because he's done some weird movies.
You
just kind of go, mate, you wrote Good Will Hunting. You have to have the rest of your life off. You've done it.
There's more to have to forgive Ben Affleck for.
What's the other Ben? What do you mean? Like stories or actual just crap films?
No, I mean terrible films. Yeah.
Well, Batman, wasn't
he? But then he sort of messes with you and comes out with that film that he directed that won Best Director. What was it? Arna? About the like heist, not the heist.
Oh, Argo.
Argo
was brilliant.
Never saw it.
Did you? Neither did I. I did. I loved it. Talk to me before we get into the last year, Makita, before we get to the end of this podcast.
That last year better have some bloody training equipment on it.
It's just more movies. I'm just interested in the interviews thing. You are a brilliant interviewer because when you're watching you on TV, it's you. You get the sense that you're being a completely natural. That's why you and Simon were so good and the chemistry was so real.
Thank you.
Well, it's true. And how do you find that when you are approaching interviews and you realise, and this is genuinely a career question, like I want your advice, and you think, I don't get on with you. Like you're interviewing someone and you're like, oh, the chemistry isn't right. And yet when I build all my interactions with people on a completely natural kind of how I am starting point, if I don't get on with someone, where do you go? What do you do? What are the tricks?
I'm trying to think. It's difficult because it's all about the approach, I think. And I think the minute you let someone know who you are, you can get into a very different space. And who I let them know that I am is someone that's going to have a slightly different kind of conversation with them. And it's going to be more on a level. And I do that by talking to people a lot before I interview them. Even if it's a junket and you've got, junkets work, you know, and also I've had prep. You know, in those 15 years of working every day, that's like 4 junkets a week. And junkets are hell, if you don't know. It's when all the actors are in different hotel rooms and you get carted around to each room and you get treated terribly.
Yes.
And you get put into a room with cameras and a massive film star sat in a chair. They've already had 50 interviews and you get 4 minutes and someone's there doing the time with their hands. It's really intense.
Yes.
So I decided when I was about 19 to become the master of junkets. So I would be lovely to all the people going, okay, T4 this way. I'd be like, are you all right, Amanda? It's quite long here today, isn't it? I got really personable with everyone. When I walked into the junket room, I would introduce myself to all the cameramen. So by the time you sit down with Cameron Diaz, she's like, you're okay.
Yes.
And then be like, hi, Cameron. I know this is probably the 50th interview. Should we have some fun,
yes,
Cameron? Like, just go straight into like, this will be a bit different because of who I am, because of who you are, Tom. Mm. It's always going to be that slightly different interview. You just have to let them know that as soon as you can.
You have to. But this is the thing, in the face of huge superstars, like I did Jim Carrey just before lockdown. And it's like, yeah, you don't know what's going to happen with that guy.
Yeah, it does get, I get really bad nerves, do you?
Yes, yes, that's what I'm saying. I get nervous. And what the problem is, the nerves make the personality engine, right, which we build the thing on that you've just described, that's suddenly wading through treacle. So what do you do? What are the techniques?
Oh, I go to a place that my therapist and I call Major Makita, which is like when I go into like army mode. It's interesting you said that it's like being in the army when I left work after 15 years. Yeah, I go into army mode, which is I am the best at this and I need them to know that. So I just like don't let fear get in the way.
Yes.
Because of how much I want it to go well.
Fear is a fucking asshole.
Fear is a fucker. Yeah. Fear is a fucker. And then you get into a place of doubt. And there doesn't need to be any doubt. You know how to chat to people. Let's do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like that.
God, I'm going to use that next time I'm going to do some awful junket.
I'm so honoured that you want my advice.
Of course
Thank
I do.
You so much.
You're a genius at this stuff. You're brilliant at this stuff.
Thank you.
All right, come on. Let's look at 2020. Let's look at lockdown. Jesus
come
Christ.
Come on. Year of my life. This is the best year of my life. Just, this better be represented in my Amazon purchases.
So April, bearing in mind your birthday is April the what? Again, remind me.
25th, April 25th. I had a lockdown birthday.
So we can see that as you approach your birthday. You're absolutely caning Prime Video. Buying some amazing Serendipity in her shoes.
Oh my God, I was so heartbroken.
One Night Stand.
Yeah, that's an amazing film. Who's that made by?
It's an erotically charged love story. Hello.
Yeah, it's amazing. No. Is it? Yeah, I guess it is quite erotic, but it's made by that guy, Nigel. Oh, it's amazing. Robert Downey Jr.
Mike Figgis.
Wesley Snipes.
Mike Figgis.
So it's really beautifully made. And I remember it when I first got cable. When I was, when we were 14, my mum got Sky. We got Sky. It was a big thing. And I got it in my room. So I had Sky Movies. And this film, One Night Stand, was on a lot. And I just thought it was so brilliant. It's like sexually charged, dramatic. Oh my God, Robert Downey Jr. is dying of AIDS in it. Ugh. It's so hardcore, but it's so beautifully made. And I was so happy when I found it. Amazon was the only place I could find it.
The magic of Amazon. Yeah, great film. RDJ is amazing from Elle Holiday. Conrad Van Orton, that is not a real name, but if it is, congratulations. Conrad Van Orton says, a tremendous endeavor. These are just reviews I'm reading here. 5 stars from an Amazon customer.
Oh, got you.
And then... this one here that's just completely out of nowhere. Glenn's written, avoid, lost interest after 30 minutes. Fuck you, Glenn. Fuck you. Unbelievable.
Avoid.
Unbelievable.
No, it's beautiful, Glenn. You missed the trick.
Okay, great. Girls Series 6. Yeah, that's a theme. You've been watching lots of Girls, the brilliant Lena Dunham TV series. Lots of that.
So this is me. Okay, so I was a little bit heartbroken just before lockdown, quite a lot. And then lockdown obviously makes it worse. And then when I was sort of heartbroken. That's the serendipity period, like April, right?
Why heartbroken, please?
God,
have you split up with your boyfriend, right?
It wasn't a boyfriend. It was someone I don't want to go into it. Just something and then it suddenly really wasn't and then lockdown happened. It was horrendous.
Oh my God, okay.
And I was watching a lot of romantic comedies, but then when I started watching Girls, that's when I started getting back into me and writing and ideas and directing and colors I wanted to use and projects I wanted to do. And I was just starting small. I mean, see, now I'm saying to you, colors I wanted to use, because of the colours I've used in a new project, which I know I've been inspired by Lena Dunham's use of the way she colours girls, the actual word girls in every episode at the beginning. Oh, yeah. But obviously at the time I didn't know that. But now I'm talking to you, I realise that. But I definitely, it's interesting that then I suddenly just started Girls from the beginning and just watched it all because I really wanted to like get back into how I could be, make the creative ideas in my mind a reality. And, I love that Lena Dunham does that.
She's amazing. And also she is one of those people who is, she takes control of everything, the writing, the directing, everything. It is a...
Yes, yes, and, totally. And she wouldn't let a man get in the way of that. No. So I was like, I am Lena Dunham.
Good. Good. Yes. Why not? More motherland here. Letting Go, The Pathway of Surrender. Here's a good audiobook.
Oh, God. I mean, you feel me? I was so trying to let go. Oh, my God.
What
I was
happened?
So trying to let go.
What happened?
I can't say on a podcast. You know why?
Go on.
Because I've already said it on a podcast. I've got to stop saying it.
But just in terms of... Okay. All right. Just give us a sort of, give us an outline to give us some context that you're comfortable, obviously that you're comfortable with doing.
Yeah, I started seeing someone, and then they got back with their ex-girlfriend.
Okay.
Out of nowhere.
Okay.
And it was hardcore.
Yes.
It was really hardcore. Right. So this is really interesting. Totally. The romantic comedy bit. Then the, who am I? I want to write. What do I want to make happen? And then Letting Go. I remember I bought that. I was having a really hard time at that point. And I took myself for a 5-hour walk up the canal. I walked all the way to Wanstead.
Wow.
And I listened to Letting Go. 5 hours of it I listened to it. And it's tough, that book.
Wow.
Oh, it's really hard.
In what way? Because it makes you address things.
Big time, really address them and really look into the reasons that you feel things and why you hold on to stuff and how much you do have to let go of things. And I wasn't really ready. And oh my God, it was hardcore. It was a really hard day. Actually, I don't know if it says how much I listened to, but I never listened to it again because I actually, the next day felt worse.
Well, that's the danger of certain types of audiobooks like this, is that they're a therapy without an actual person there. And there is a danger there that you can't, you need to be bouncing stuff back. You can't do these things by yourself sometimes.
Right. Yeah, I've never thought about it like that. That was it. I felt even more freaked out after I did 5 hours of that. So I haven't listened to it again. I'm a bit scared of it.
To be honest, listening to 5 hours, if I listen to 5 hours of this podcast, I think I'll start to lose my marbles, really. I mean, it's a very intense thing. But again, here we see this Makita Oliver. You know, you don't do things half-assed unless it's the first 6 minutes of that TV series.
Yeah.
You know, you jump in.
I dive in.
But this is interesting, 2020. So we're seeing inspiration. We're seeing you're reaching out for the comfort of rom-coms. You're being inspired by things like Girls as we get to the last page, right? The latest page on your Amazon. So November 2020, we've got Frankie and Johnny. We've got Postcards from the Edge, America's Sweethearts. Nick Hornby's new one, Just Like You, which I've read.
Oh, yeah, I'm listening to that right now.
It's an interesting idea, isn't it?
Yeah, I like it. I do like it.
It's good. It's good. And here we go. Look, we'll end on this. Proof that you are taking a military approach. You are physically rebuilding as well as mentally rebuilding. 27th of September, the kettle dumbbell.
Yes.
Along with the neoprene dumbbells. Look at this. You've absolutely you spent nearly £100 on heavy things.
I did. No, but you know what? I keep them at my friend Seb's so that I go to his house and train. He lives like a 10-minute cycle. And I love that. I do the bike ride. I go there. We do our weights and then I come home.
Right.
And because in lockdown, I was like, I want to properly train. And it's annoying because the other thing I bought on Amazon was 25 skipping ropes. But actually, someone from, because I'm starting this thing called Skip School, which is all about encouraging people to skip through lockdown and also to take that skill further on in your life as well, because skipping's just the one.
My God.
Tom, if you don't skip.
It's so good for you. There was a guy skipping in the park the other day and my kids just watched him and he was really lovely and he was seemed to be quite nice about it. He was like doing proper intense skippage and my kids were, and they can't skip. They don't skip. So where's that life skill?
Oh, my God. Well, I'm bringing skipping back into our lives. It's called Skip School, and it's going to be people just exchanging content on Instagram. It's going to be called Sunday Skip School. Every Sunday on my Instagram, there'll be lots of different skipping content. And the main thing that Skip School is about is learning how to skip to music, because it's so much fun learning to skip to a beat.
Yeah.
And it's so accessible. Ropes are like a fiver. Yeah. You know, well, on Amazon, we got 25 for about 30 quid. But anyway, the reason it's not on there is because Kelly, who works for Skip School, bought them on her Amazon account, which is so annoying.
It's all right. You've still brought it to the podcast. You've still got Skip. And also, it's so good for your core as well, isn't it? So good for your fitness.
It's so good. And also, it's fun, Tom. Mm. I put my headphones on. I'm going to do it right after this. Just do 10 minutes. Just go downstairs, get into the park, put my headphones on, just do 10 minutes to the beat. And I feel invigorated and ready for the next Zoom.
It's a form of meditation, ready for the next ridiculous podcast. Well, listen, this ridiculous podcast with you has been a pleasure. Makita Oliver, I think you are absolutely brilliant. Thank you. Thank you for spending some time with us today.
Thank you so much, Tom.
And before we lose you, you must tell us, obviously we can find you on Insta and Twitter and all that stuff. And you've got a podcast up and running, haven't you? What's the quiz thing that's going on at the moment? Tell us about that.
Yes, I'm doing a new podcast called Quiz Chat Repeat. It's quite redemptive for me because I've been the quiz master at most family gatherings for 15 years. So finally, it's an official thing. And I love it because it's a proper daily quiz. It's not, you know, we do chat quite a lot actually, but we get the quiz done first. And that's really important to me because as someone that loves to host a quiz, I know that when people come to a quiz, it's because they straight up love a quiz. And that's all we do. And you were quite good on it. You were all right. Yeah, you were pretty good, actually.
No, I was the first round. My general knowledge was absolutely crushingly awful.
What were you like on your specialist subject? What was it again?
Well, my specialist subject was the playlist of Magic FM.
Oh, yeah.
So I think I hummed my way through it. I think it was okay. It was all right. I didn't embarrass myself, which is the first time in my life that I can say that.
No, you did not.
It was a lot of fun and it was good. But the thing that really strikes me is the number of times as a stand-up people come to me and say, oh, can you host a quiz? But like with stand-up, and you're like, no. People go to a quiz because they want a quiz.
Yes, exactly. Get on with the quiz. So that if you just want to get on with the quiz, Quiz Chat Repeat's for you.
Quiz Chat Repeat, available on all good platforms. Makita Oliver, all the best, kind regards.
Thank you.
Makita Oliver, how ace is she? From pop world to skipping. Brilliant, brilliant human being. Thank you for listening, as ever, to My Mate Bought a Toaster. I'll be back next week. Give us a follow at ToasterPod on Twitter and Instagram and give us a rate and a review. Sorry, I know it's annoying, I say it all the time, but it really, really helps. Lots of love. See you soon. Bye.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hello, my name is Pete Ellison. This is Dave Cribb.
Hello, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends, as you might have guessed from the music that's playing underneath, which is a sort of lo-fi rendition of the Friends theme tune for rights reasons. We get a different guest on every week on our podcast to talk about their favourite episode of Friends.
And we look through it in excruciating detail. We pick through levels of plots like no one has ever done before.
So if you like Friends or just listening to people talking, which are both valid activities, do look us up on the old podcast app. Apps and that. Friends with Friends, and we're on Twitter @FriendsWF.